Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. You are on Project Paranormal Radio. I'm your host, Onyx, Brian Sons. We're going to have a great show tonight. I like to change the show up a little bit. I don't want to keep it stale, so I try to pick different topics every week. Tonight is going to be one of those fun nights. As many of you may know, over this past weekend, I traveled down to New Orleans to Wizard World Comic Con with my paranormal team, Paranormal Society of New Orleans. We had a booth at the Wizard World, and we also did a panel, which turned out fabulous. And tonight, I'm going to kind of do things a little differently. I'm going to have Chris Malasson, who is the founder of Paranormal Society New Orleans. I'm going to have him and another team member, Raymond, and they're going to be live on air. And basically, we're going to discuss what happened there in New Orleans at the Comic-Con. We're going to share that with y'all, our adventures. And also, we did a paranormal investigation, and it was very interesting. It had some interesting things go down, and we're going to try to share that with you guys also. So I have Chris on the air right now, and let me bring him on over. Hello, Chris.
Yeah, hey, Brian, it's Ray.
Oh, Ray. Oh, great. I guess we're waiting on Chris to call in. But Ray, I'm glad you're here, man. I was just introducing you guys and talking a little bit about what took place over the weekend. We'll get into that a little bit more once Chris calls in. But I mean, the weekend. Let's get to that. The weekend was awesome, was it not?
Dude, it was amazing. They had such a good turnout, and even though we had a kind of bad position with our booth, we talked to a lot of people, you know?
Yeah.
We still had people coming over and interested.
Yeah, I was surprised. The weekend didn't start off as very, hopeful with you. You had a few incidents go down, but you were a trooper, yeah. Man. I'm proud of you. You hung in there. You still showed up. You performed to the best of your ability despite all the personal issues, and that says a lot to me, man. I want you to know, you really impressed me over the weekend.
Well, and, thank you, dude. I really appreciate it, man. I look at it as a job. I mean, going to be there for that.
Well, that's in my opinion, that's how it should be. That's how it should be handled. Because, even though the monetary value may not be there, you're still presenting yourself. You're still presenting an image to the public, to your teammates. So I believe that you should approach that with the same work ethics that you would a regular job. I just wish more people would follow that also.
I mean, it just helps with my whole work ethic, to have that mindset and to be able to go in there and think, all right, even though I'm not making money, you know, this is, I'm gaining knowledge, I'm gaining experience, you know, and if I hope to gain wealth with it, you have to treat it like a profession.
Well, you're the, and this is not a slam at all, but you're the youngest member of our team, and many of them, many people would assume that you being the youngest would be much different, but in my opinion, from my interaction over the weekend with you, you seem to have the most drive and the most mature worth ethic out of anyone that I've seen at your age. And
well, thank you. That's an extremely big compliment to me.
I noticed all that. I was paying attention to everything that was going on, and it really said a lot to me. I think we have Chris on the line now. Let me go ahead and bring him on over. Chris.
Hello.
Hey, man. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, what's up, Chris?
First of all, this is me, you, and Raymond.
All right. What's up, Ray?
What's up?
Well, first of all, I want to start off by Chris, by thanking you extremely from the bottom of my heart for everything that went down last weekend, the hospitality, the generosity. It just meant so much to me. Above all the Comic-Con and all that stuff, you know, just the whole the camaraderie and just the friendship in itself. And
that's no problem. You know we're like, you know, us as a group, you know, Ray's been with us a short time, but I'm sure he can already feel it. You know, we're like a family, you know, and family to me means, you know, you show love and you have each other's back no matter what, you know, and it's a lot of walking. It's not much talking for me, but it's a lot of walking. You know, we talked about that. Plus your girlfriend, Jennifer, you know, she paid me to take you away for the weekend. So,
yeah, I can believe that. Hell, I would have paid you for that. Well, for those that don't know, over the last, year, Chris and I have worked together to build this project, this Paranormal Society of New Orleans, into a unified group, credible group. We've never met in person. It's always been over the phone or online until this weekend, and we were finally able to meet together in person over the past weekend. And what a better setting than Wizard World New Orleans Comic Con. I mean, we couldn't ask.
You know, the first thing that Brian said to me when he saw me, he wasn't, "Hi, how's it going?" He goes, "You're a lot shorter than I thought," you know. First thing he tells me. I was like, "Well, thanks."
Well, hey,
it must be something with the cameras, man. The cameras must be angled weird. You look a lot taller on film.
You could have completely turned that around on me. You could have said, "Well, you're a lot taller than I thought." You know, me being 6'1", you could have completely turned that around on me. Well, maybe it's just you, you know. But we had a great time. The excitement over the Comic-Con was just tremendous, and being there, like Raymond said earlier, aside from the location of our booth, I mean, for those who went, you know that they kind of had us tucked off in a corner, away from what I'd like to call Action Alley. But we had a great turnout. We had a lot of people stop by and talk to us. And then our panel. Chris, I'm going to let you get in on that.
Well, yeah, I mean, our panel, I mean, the turnout was amazing, you know. The people that came out, you know, we were really nervous about the panel. And then when we got up there, you know, I was trying to prolong the theory after we played the evidence. You know, I knew the evidence was going to get some oohs and ahs. You know, it's some incredible stuff we have. But I didn't think that the audience would be so interactive. And, you know, when I made the statement, you know, after John and I kind of carried on about our paranormal theories and our experiences and tell a little story, you know, I said so many questions, and the hands that went up were just amazing, you know. And the questions they asked were just right on point, and it was just amazing questions. It made us think, and, you know, it led to great conversation. I believe, you know, one of my favorite questions was about, you know, psychiatric units and and mental health patients, are they really hearing voices, or could it be paranormal? That was really great, because I work with the mental health field. And the best question was, the last one, I think it was about a 12-year-old little girl, she said, what's your favorite place to investigate? You know, and I love that one. And, you know, it was great. You know, going back to when we first walked in, I remember I've been to Comic-Con since it came down to New Orleans a few years ago, 2012. And I walked, when you walk through, I mean, it's like you're in kind of like a little tunnel setting in the lobby, and then when you walk through those doors, it's like a whole world opens up. You know, and for anybody going the first time, it's overwhelming, you know. And I remember walking in and looking to my side, and where's Brian? I look back, and Brian's just mesmerized, stuck, just looking around. I'm like, Brian, come on, you know, we get to the information booth. And he's trying to take pictures, and he's got something in his mouth.
I'm a big kid. I'm a big kid. I mean, you know from being with there, but anyone else that knows me knows I'm a big kid, and I was floored. I was like, I mean, my exact words was, holy shit. It was so much more than I expected. I just couldn't – I was on a high the whole weekend. Yeah, Chris, you can vouch for that. I was running around like a big kid. You know, I was in love with it, you know. But
You know, I want to give kudos and a shout-out to Ray, because – Ray didn't have the best weekend like we did. Everything went perfect for us. But Ray gave me a call Friday afternoon and said, hey, man, you know, I'm on my way. I'll be there. I'm heading over the bridge. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, I get a call 20 minutes later. He said, man, I've been in a wreck. You know, my tire blew out. I hit a car, you know, all this. And I'm like, wow, man, you okay? What's going on? And he's like, you know, this happened. I'm like, look, go home, man. You just been through a wreck, you know? And do I know about an hour later, but look who walks up or limps up, you know, at the Comic-Con. It's Ray. And he's talking to people, trying to promote our event and promote our website and everything. And the man's just been through a wreck, you know. And I wasn't the only one that noticed that, Ray. But, man, major respect and kudos for you showing up like that and the dedication.
Yeah, that's
dude.
What,
that
that's what I told him. You know? That's what I told him at the opening of the show, that proved the worth ethnic to me, that just stood out, you know. And then he had an issue the following day, Saturday, but yet he still stayed there with us the whole time. I mean, that was
uh-huh.
– I'm not going to go into details of that one, but, yeah, that was awesome. It really spoke volumes to me.
Yeah.
Hey, dude, I wouldn't miss it for the world, you know. I mean –
So
it's
let's
a lot
talk
more than that to stop me.
Let's talk about you guys are free to share anything that happened at the con, the craziness, the fun, anything. Let's go there. Let's have some fun with it.
Incident in the bathroom.
Incident in the bathroom.
Yeah, I'm joking.
because I'm lost. I'm like, what the heck is he talking about? But. But yeah, I mean, go ahead.
What happened in the bathroom?
I'll never tell. Okay.
I have no idea what he's talking about either. Let's talk about some of the celebrities that were there. I mean, there were people everywhere in costume, dressed up. Some wearing a little bit less than others, and some a little bit more. But the celebrities that were there, you know, I posted some pictures. Chris, who did you actually meet? I know you met a few people.
Manu Bennett.
Talked
with him for a little while. Met Robert Englund. I've already met Norman Reedus and Sean Patrick Flannery a few different times before. John Bernthal, I've met him before. You know, that's pretty much about it. But, I had the same experience when, you know, meeting Manu Bennett was kind of personal to me, and a lot of people might think this is dumb, but I'm a religious fan of Spartacus, okay? Ever since the very first episode aired back in 2010, okay? I was a fan, you know? I was in, you know? I loved his character. I loved Andy Whitfield. I was a huge fan of Andy Whitfield, you know? And you know, in between season one and two, Andy Whitfield was got diagnosed with cancer of the lymph nodes, and then he passed away. And, you know, that was very, like, I don't know, man. I mean, I just really, really liked Andy Whitfield. I don't know, man. I just felt like I had a special connection with the show. You know, it's just really weird. And when I met Mayu Bennett, you know, my mom actually loved the show just as much as I did. And when I went up and met Manu, I told him, I said, look, man, I said, I really loved Andy, you know, and I shared some personal stuff with him, you know, and I could say, look, man, I know how it felt to watch him suffer and then pass like that. I could only imagine how you felt. And he said, you know what? He said, like, Andy Whitfield is one of the most amazing human beings he ever met because he was a family man. On the set, his kids, his wife, you know, his family would come on the set. You know, and that's all he was about. He wasn't about partying. He wasn't about doing anything. He was all about his family. And man, he told me, you know, he was like, you know, I appreciate you coming up and talk to me about that. And I was like, no problem. And I, you know, I asked him if he would sign something for my mom. And he said, sure, you know. And he said, make it out to, I said, Kathy. So he makes it out to Kathy. And then he stops. And I literally not. I watch him get teary-eyed. Okay, this man is starting to get teary-eyed at his booth, and he sits there with the pen in his hand for like 5 minutes looking down. And I'm not exaggerating. When I say 5 minutes, it almost felt awkward. Something wrong here? Is there's the brain disorder? Or, like, what's going on? To where he just kind of stroked the pen up and down in the air. And for man, then he wrote, Andy was our hero. Okay, and then he signed it. You know, and that was just like a moment like I would never forget for the rest of my life. You know, and I looked at him and I said, look, man, much respect, you know, much respect, you know.
Well, it's interesting because now that was on Friday night, and he was supposed to come by our booth and sit and chill with us for a little while, but I guess, with all the chaos, he got busy. But on Sunday, I actually got to meet him and talk with him, and we were there at his booth, and there was no one else, and we were talking for a little bit, and he says, well, do you want a picture? And I said, well, okay, you know, can I take a picture with you? He's like, no, he's like, here, give me your phone. He grabbed my phone from me, pulled me in, you know, to the picture. He said, come here. And he took the selfie of us, which is on my Facebook profile pic, and he was so awesome. I'm telling you, I shook hands with Stan Lee. I shook hands with C. Thomas Howell. I shook hands with Hicks. His last name, Hicks from Aliens. A couple of others. Out of all the celebrities that I met there, Manu Bennett was the coolest, most down-to-earth one out of all of them. It was like just hanging out with your best friend. You know, it was that's how cool he was. If you ever go to any of these and you get the chance, go meet him. He's played in Spartacus. He plays Deathstroke in Arrow. He is Azog, which most people don't know that, but he is Azog in the Hobbit movies. Definitely, he was nothing like what I expected him to be. And I don't know if it's because of his New Zealand upbringing, much different than, you know, American actors, but he was, it's like he, in his mind, the way he acted, it's like he wasn't even an actor. He was just, it was so cool. No ego at all. Awesome, awesome guy.
Yeah, I don't know if you've been able to watch some of his acting on Spartacus, but it's probably some of the best acting that I've ever been seen with the dialogue and how everything, you know, how he does everything. I mean, he plays a warrior, he plays someone who falls in love, who loses his love, you know, fights to get her back. I mean, everything that he did with Spartacus, the whole 4 years, you know, you couldn't ask for any more of an actor. You know, of an individual, as a person. You know, there's so much acting in there. Episode nine, towards the end, I think any person should watch that because that's some of the best acting you'll probably ever see.
Right, and that's kind of what I'm getting at, the fact that he is nothing at all like any of the characters that I've seen him portray. He's just the coolest. Nothing at all like any of the characters. Just totally laid back, friendly, a really good disposition. He's an awesome guy.
Yeah, much respect for him, man. You know, another celebrity that is really down to earth and really cool is John Bernthal. If you don't know who John Bernthal is, he played Shane on The Walking Dead. I was able to meet him last year and sit down and talk to him for a little while. And I tell you, man, he's really down to earth too, because he really wasn't known until Walking Dead. And after he was killed off on Walking Dead, he got roles like Wolf of the Wall Street with Matthew McConaughey and Leonardo DiCaprio, The Snitch with The Rock, some other great roles that he's got. I think he played Robert De Niro's son in The Grudge, you know, that's about to come out too.
He wasn't there this year though, right?
Yeah, he was there. He was there. He was just kind of like I asked him, like, because I caught him in that time frame, because he had the handlebar mustache. He was filming for that role of Leonardo DiCaprio, and I asked him, I said, how does it feel knowing that you were just this person a year ago, and look where you're at now? And he says, man, it's just, there's no other feeling like it in the world. He just went on to talk about how, you know, getting all these roles and getting all the success, it's just like surreal, and, you know, almost like a dream, you know, and it's just cool to sit there and somebody, an up-and-coming actor who's about to blow up, you know, on the silver screen, on the big screen, and, you know, just get how they feel, and it's exactly how you imagine they feel.
I think with me, it being my first time, I was still trying to get over the initial shock of being there altogether, and standing right there in front of a world famous actor. You know, I was, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you being the old crow, so to say, you know, more, a little bit more conversation. Now with Manu, I was able to have a good conversation, but it was Sunday and I was pretty much, you know, just coming down off the high, I guess.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that went really well.
You know, I'm kind of sad I didn't get to meet any of them, y'all.
Well, it was hard for all of us. It was hard for all of us because, you know, we did have a booth and we had to maintain a presence there. So it was hard for all of us to get around and really look at all the things that we may have wanted to look at and meet all the people we may have wanted to meet. But,
I mean, you know, I'm...
Go ahead, Ray.
Oh, I'm not a big celebrity fan myself, you know, I mean, they had The Walking Dead there. I haven't really taken the time to get into the show. I know the new Doctor Who was there. I don't really watch that either. But, man, as far as, like, people I talked to, the local artists around New Orleans that was there, the up-and-comers, dude, I have to say, they had some talent this year. You know, they was all extremely friendly. You know, every one of them had something great to present there.
Yeah, there was, you know, there was really... There was really no
arrogance. I was more
arrogance.
Shocked at some... No, not at all. Like, there was nothing. None of them was smug. They was all friendly. It was a community, you know, as it should be, of artists. And that's something that really got to me, you know. I love seeing that.
It's funny because I look over at Raymond, and you know, you talk about the awe that I was in. Raymond, and I don't know how he did it, but he would go in front of our booth and stand there for the longest time and just be completely content. But also I was watching him and he had a little bit of that big kid in him too, where he was in awe of everything around him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And,
you know, some of the costumes passing by, I was just like, dude, props, you know? Especially some of the lesser known people walking around. I was like, oh my God, I just wanted to stop everybody and be like, dude, I love it, you know?
Yeah, you're about the same age as my son. I'm giving away my age here, but you're about the same age as my son. And I kind of got to see a little bit of that, you know, when you were out there. I kind of got to live a little bit of that, you know, like with your reactions to everything. Because I would have loved to have my son there. Unfortunately, circumstances didn't allow it. But hopefully next year.
Yeah, well, I tell you what. Well, you know, we have a big event coming up April 5th, you know, and it's the Duff Green Mansion Ghost Hunt with PSNO. at in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And, you know, we were advertising it. You know, Ray was out there advertising it in her panel. And I tell you what, as of right now, since Comic-Con, and it's just been a half, like, what, 4 or 5 days, we're only selling 20 tickets now. We've sold 5 tickets just from Comic-Con of people messaging me and saying, I want a ticket. I saw you guys at Comic-Con. Let's do this, you know? And that's pretty amazing, you know? And I think one of them was like, you know, I talked to Ray. He told me about the event. You know, I want a ticket, you know? And it's just, you know, great job of doing that, Ray, you know? And
Let's talk about that. How many tickets are remaining? Let's
we have 8 tickets left, and I actually had somebody. Something happened with the website today when people try to pay, it wouldn't let them. Really aggravating. Okay, so one's pending. 2 people called me yesterday and said today they were gonna. Tomorrow they're gonna buy some, and another. Person called me and said they wanted 2. So as of right now, we have 8 tickets left, but at least 5 of them are pretty much taken for it. They're going to be buying them tomorrow. So we're
they're
gonna
going
have 3
they're going
tickets
pretty
left
quick.
This weekend.
Yeah, they're going pretty quick. If you guys are in the Mississippi, Louisiana, well, it really doesn't matter where you're from.
Somebody's flying in from Dallas.
Yeah, if you want to come with us on this, you can just go ahead and give the website so they can find
well,
these.
Well, you can go to www.psno.eventbrite.com, or you can go to our website on ParanormalSocietyNewOrleans.com, you know, and click on that little link, on that little banner right there, and it'll lead you right to it. But After tomorrow, guys, we're only going to have 3 tickets left, you know, and the thing's not until April 5th, and it's already about to sell out. Like, did I think that was going to happen? But if it's okay with Brian, I'd like to tell you what's going to go down that night.
I'm sorry?
If it's okay with you, I'd like to talk a little bit about what's going to go down that night.
Yeah, let's do it. And I also want to ask you, in the event that these tickets do sell out and there is a more demand for it, Is there maybe some consideration that eventually we may offer more tickets?
No, and I'll tell you why. You know, I'll tell you why I'm not going to do that, because I don't want it to get too crowded. This is going to be a very private, you know, my intentions, okay, my goal is to take a person who's never been able to go on a official paranormal investigation to give them that experience, to give them that feeling of asking questions, getting responses. You know, I just don't think, it's my professional opinion, that I just don't think that we will be able to accomplish that with everybody if we do over more than 20 people.
Right, we won't, you feel like we won't be able to vote more, it would take up more of our one-on-one time with the
exactly.
customers.
Exactly. You know, you don't want everybody bunched together. You know, we're going to do one large group in the beginning when we first start this thing. And you just don't want too many people there. You know, it's already hard enough when we go to a residential, we have 1 or 2 more investigators there. That could compromise the whole investigation. I mean, Ray knows
right,
that.
Right,
we've
right.
been through it, you know. And
oh, yes,
knows,
we've been through that
just
before.
Like you, just like you, Brian, went and crawled in that closet in the basement, you know, to experience some paranormal activity. You know better than anybody that the best time to capture paranormal evidence is by yourself. You know?
Right. And see, that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. And unless you have something else you want to plug or promote,
I just want to talk a little bit about what's going to go down April 5th. Okay, the event's going to start at 8:00. Okay, and what we're going to do is we're going to give a seminar or like a little training class on the equipment, what it does, how to use it. You know. What goal are we trying to reach with the questions there? Obviously, that was the Civil War hospital, so we want to, you know, ask some Civil War soldier questions, you know, use common sense kind of there, how to react, how to stay calm, different type of feelings you'll experience when the atmosphere does change, and why we use this equipment, like, you know, when we have the periscope and the electric static detector, you know, when the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Is that psychological? Because I can tell you a story right now that'll make the hairs on the back of your neck stand up. Or is it the environment changing? There's actually a spirit there. That's why we use this equipment. So, and then, you know, we're going to start off, we're going to have a tour. We're going to have a master storyteller come in, and they're going to walk around. It's going to be a glow stick tour. The whole lights are going to be out. You're going to have glow sticks, and you know, you're going to get a tour of the whole mansion. And then after that, the investigation begins. So we're going to start off with one big group, and we're going to go through different things. We're going to start off with a spirit box session, and maybe move to an echo box session. Again, you'll learn about this equipment during the seminar in the beginning. Then maybe do an EVP, see if we get any kind of reaction. Take a little small break, and then we'll split up into three groups. You know, one group will do upstairs, two will do downstairs, and vice versa. Maybe the third group will walk the grounds outside, because we all know if you have a haunted house, the grounds might be as haunted as well. And then we'll just sit around, and we'll meet back up. Of course, it's just going to be a few hours after the investigation begins, and we're going to see, hey, who's brave enough to do a solo session in the mansion by themselves? Okay, 15 minutes. Can you do 15, 20 minutes? And then we'll see how that works out and do couples, and then we'll go back into our groups. You know,
I'm
this
down
is a
for
full
that.
Paranormal investigation, 8 hours long from 8 p.m. to 4 a.m. You want to be a paranormal investigator? Well, let's go.
Hey, Chris, I have a question, actually, about the equipment seminar that's going to be in the front.
Yeah.
How expensive is it going to be?
How what?
The equipment seminar we're giving out, how expensive is it going to be? Are we going to run through the basics of everything, or are we going to get into the, you know, more complicated theories behind the stuff?
Want to get too much into the complicated theories behind it. You know, let's keep it kind of simple. Let's keep it kind of basic, you know,
right, because
that's going to eat up a lot of time, you know, and basically,
yeah.
You know, we want to have as much experience as possible.
Because,
you
believe
know.
Me, the clientele, the customers, the main thing they're there for is to go in there and have that paranormal experience, you know. Mm-hmm. So like you said, we don't want to eat up a lot of time into that. Chris, let's talk about the paranormal investigation that we did Saturday night. I want you to give us now. You guys have caught a lot of stuff there prior without me.
Gold mine.
Yeah, open that up for us, if you will.
All right. Well, okay. So, well, we went and had a hamburger with Fat Harry's. That was pretty good, huh, guys?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
At Comic-Con. Yeah, you know that was really good.
Tell a little bit, Chris. Tell a little bit about your previous experience there, and then we'll get into what happened Saturday night.
All right, this is a mouthful. You're having me talk a lot tonight, Brian. Right?
Some of the previous evidence that you've caught.
Well, I mean, look, some of the previous evidence caught, we caught one of the, I mean, I like to think one of the best EVPs ever caught out there, you know, which, of course, is the mommy. There's a little girl there. We through our evidence, we gathered, we think her name is Brianna. And there's a couple other male spirits that were there, negative spirits, but when we cleansed, we didn't detect them at all for like 3 or 4 investigations. Well, I know for a fact this time they're back because they let me know that they're back. I'll get into that in a second. But we've had some of the most intense spirit box sessions there. We brought the news crew down there. We were on the news, the local New Orleans news. Came down there, and every time you go down there, you're pretty much guaranteed to hear a little girl talk, without a doubt, you know. And I've said this before, and I've brought people down there, and they've heard a little girl talk. Her name's Brianna. We don't know how she died. We really don't know much history about the place, but what it looks like, it's like a 3-story house, and the first story has pretty much been wiped out by Katrina, but it's kind of like a basement setting. So it looks like a creepy horror house with like an old piano down there, and it's just a bunch of clutter that people have been collecting over the years. Excuse me. So we've got multiple EVPs out of there of a girl's voice. Red Pod hits, K2 hits, just amazing stuff. So we brought Brian down there, and this was Ray's first time too, and I know that the two male spirits are back there because I went into the basement. I was taking a break. Y'all were in there investigating. I believe Brian was talking to the owner of the house, and I walked into another room, and I was almost tripping over stuff because there's clutter everywhere. And I was looking in my pocket for some kind of a lighter or a flashlight or something, and something whispered in my ear. And I recognized that voice because that's not the first time that that thing has whispered in my ear. It sounded just like the disembodied voice we captured at the REM pod.
He
was back.
Chris, we weren't able to make out over the radio what it whispered. It whispered hey in Chris's ear.
Yeah.
For those that couldn't make it out.
Yeah, it whispered hey into my ear. And I just kind of smiled and said, all right, you're back, ain't you? You know, one of these days I'm going to prove you exist. You know? And I remember turning around and walking back, and I told you, I said, Brian, something just whispered in my ear, you know? And, you know, I guess after you run into spirits so much, you kind of lose the fear of it.
Well,
unless you're dealing with a really bad one, you know?
Right. Well, see, I'm going to tell my side of it. And, Ray, I'll bring you in a minute because you were there with me for the last part of it. We went into this area, and everybody kind of decided where they were going to go. And I saw this really, really dark, I mean, pitch black closet. And I said, and I think I might have surprised a couple of y'all because I said, I'm going to go, and I'm going to sit right in there. And so I went in there, and you know, I'm talking to the spirit, presumably of a little girl. And, you know, I'm telling the spirit, you know, I have a little girl too. Do you want to play? We can play a game. I heard what I thought was a growl out of the right, from the right side. And then what was weird was I was leaning my back up against the wall in the closet, and there was a shutter in the wall. And I know you guys remember because I was like, "Is there anything on the other side of this wall?" And I could feel it in my back, the shutter. And so we continued with our investigation, and the whole time I've got the mindset, "Hey, it's a little girl. Maybe if I try to get her to play a game or something along those lines." So we were kind of wrapping up because we weren't getting too much in the way of evidence at this time. Chris went back in, and that's when he came out and told me that the spirit whispered hey in his ear. Well, after that, I decided, well, I'm going to go back in. And I went in, you know, I was in an area off by myself. And you guys know because I told you, and Ray, you know because you come into this. But there was an area in the corner that was just pitch dark that was just, like, drawing me to it. So I walked over to it, and, I mean, you know, people talk about goosebumps all the time and cold chills, but let me tell you, this was my first official investigation in a haunted location, and this feeling that I got was unlike anything I had felt ever. It goes beyond cold chill. It goes beyond goosebumps. It was just all over. And so I said, okay, well, if this is a spirit, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open myself up to it. So I put my hands out in front of me, and I couldn't really feel it anymore. So I would move, and when I would move, I would pick it up again. And so I'm doing this throughout the location. It's like I could tell where this thing was moving. And at that time, Raymond, you got up with me and asked me what was going on, and I told you, I'm feeling something right here. And you would come over there with the K2 meter, and you would pick up spikes everywhere that I told you this thing was.
Yeah, and about the K2, usually when the type of spikes that we was getting were consistent with, leaking electricity. It was an extremely concentrated spike. And, you know, at first I was like, all right, it's a coincidence. It's got to be. It's a faulty wiring. Something's wrong. Well, as Brian's moving with it, he's actually pointing it out to me. It's here. And I'm following this spike, this extremely concentrated spike. I go back to where it was to run a control, and there's nothing there. No wiring, no K2 hits, no nothing. I felt like I was following the closest thing to a full-body apparition I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, because you were behind me. And I remember you saying, holy shit, I can't believe you're able to do this. And we followed this thing. We followed this thing for about 10 minutes. And I couldn't believe that I was able to do that. Now keep in mind, this was the first time I'd been in a house that is proven, well, you know, through PSNL, proven to have paranormal activity. So it's actually the first time I've ever been able to try even to attempt any of this. But the fact that it was happening and he was following me, not just one location, throughout this whole basement, this whole property, he would have the K2 and he'd be like, well, I'm not getting it anymore. I'm like, I know you're not, because it's not there anymore. It's over here. And he would come to where I was, and sure enough, he'd get it every time. We did this for about 10 minutes. And it left me really kind of and Chris, I talked to you about this after we left. It left me kind of questioning myself. Like, I could not believe that had happened. And how? And see, the whole time I was talking to the spirit, thinking it was a little girl, and thinking, okay, I was talking to it like I would talk to my little girl. I'm like, okay, you're playing hide and seek with me, and that's the feeling that I got, that this spirit was playing a game, playing hide and seek.
And, well, that's what Brianna does, especially with somebody, you know, she doesn't really know. I mean, she still, I mean, I don't know, man. I mean, we got pretty good access to this basement, but it's kind of trickery because, you know, it's a two-part building. Other people live there, so I just can't go waltzing in there. And they've been robbed a few times recently. Like, people have come in, broken in, and stolen a lot of stuff out of the basement. So, but I want to find a place like that to where I can walk in anytime and conduct an experiment. You know what I'm saying? Like, if we had that kind of access, boy, well, like, you know, if I could get a team of scientists to develop some equipment and go in there, and we go in there together, I bet you what, we might be able to change science.
Okay, Chris, well, I'll tell you what, if we had access to that, I would have a field day.
it's got me a little bit open-minded. Now, keep in mind, I was the biggest skeptic, Chris can tell you. But what I felt that night kind of opened me up a little bit, and it's got me a little bit more open-minded to and a lot of questions like, why was I able to pick that up? What was I doing that was allowing me to be able to feel this? But it also has given me more of a drive, if you will, to test it even more, to push it even further. And you can bet your ass that at Duff Green Mansion, I'm going to be pushing that even further.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's no haunted location, you know. A whole bunch of teams have gotten evidence out of there. You know, that's why I talked to a few people before we decided to choose this place. I said, look, would this be a great place to hold an event? And everybody I talked to was like, yes. You can hold an event there. You know, but I want to put something out there, not to change the subject a little bit, but people, if you're listening and you have tickets, you know, and you're coming to this, please don't expect to see or hear a ghost. You know, we actually write that in our disclaimer. You know, paranormal research and being a paranormal investigator is like being a fisherman. You know, some days
right.
You go out there and you won't catch anything. You won't even get a nibble, you know. Some days
you
go out there and you'll catch the big bass, you know.
Yeah,
that's just
what I was leading up to. Because when I was there, it wasn't that I was seeing anything. It was what I was feeling.
Well, that's a lot. You really don't see much. I've never seen a full-body apparition, and I've been on 50-plus investigations. You know, I've dealt with some hardcore spirits, you know. I've dealt with I've seen things that, you know, I've seen equipment, you know, do things that will blow your mind. I've felt things that I've never felt before in the 30 years I've been alive, you know, but I've never seen a full-body apparition. One day, though, I still believe that spirits exist, you know. I still believe that it's certain.
Well, after what
spirits.
After what I experienced Saturday night, Chris, I believe it more so And I always believed that it was possible, but I believe it more so now than previously.
Yeah. Well, you always said, look, I got to get out there and experience it for myself, dude. You know, you're always like, I'm open-minded, but I got to get out there and experience for myself. Well, that's why I was like, okay, you coming to New Orleans this weekend? Well, why not experience some ghosts? You know, so let me help you out. Even though we were so exhausted, you know, and
that's
after
right,
those hamburgers,
right.
The fat areas, man, we crawled in the basement. You know, and I ripped my shirt.
And
really disappointing.
And
that
is exactly why we are doing this Duff Green Mansion paranormal investigation because we understand how you guys are feeling. You want to get out there. You want to believe. You want to experience it for yourself. And we're giving you guys, our listeners, the opportunity to do that with us.
I just have to say, dude, Chris knows this. Coming on to this team, I really did approach everything with a very critical scientific standpoint. First investigation, he was able to change my mind about a lot of things.
Well
you have to. I mean, you have to. If I was to get someone come on and believe in every spirit, and, oh, this is haunted, I would be skeptical of that person, if you understand what I'm saying. You know, if someone comes in, oh, definitely haunted, just walking through the front door, I'm going to be skeptical of that person. Okay, are you trying to build it up with everyone else into what you want, you know? So you have to go in. A doubter. You have to go in skeptical and you have to cross-examine everything.
Let me say this. You, one of your best friends is the founder of a paranormal group in New Orleans. I mean, there's a reputation that, you know, we have to proceed by. If you come up and say, Chris, take me to a haunted place. You're the founder of a paranormal group. Well, what kind of person am I to go, well, I can't do that. sure, come along, let's go.
That's exactly
Chris,
right.
I believe that a basement case was only my fifth one. And four out of five cases, I have seen things that really did make me go home and rethink everything. And the only one that did not was really odd for me because I could have swore I was hearing and seeing things all night. And eventually I had to sit down and, attribute it to the psychological effect of the building. And even with that, you know, I could still feel it. It's still there.
Well, you know, I want to that's true. I believe that certain environments could also influence a little bit on your perceptiveness of the paranormal that may be there. Now, Chris, you mentioned that, you know, you're the founder of PSNO. That being true, you know, and anyone who else knows me knows that I don't sugarcoat anything, and I don't kiss anyone's ass. I will say, if I think something's not paranormal, I'll say, look, Chris, and Chris knows this, he can tell you, look, Chris, I don't think this is truly, truly paranormal.
Brian and I have had arguments over evidence before. like screaming matches. Like, no. Smoking crack? Like, what's going on here?
Chris has gotten mad at me a few times. You know, we're luckily for me, Chris gets mad to where he doesn't talk for a couple of days, and after that, it's like nothing ever happened.
That's how I am.
But so you guys, I know that y'all might not be aware of all this, but you know, I'm very critical, I'm very skeptical, so I'm not just saying what I'm saying about Saturday night and this paranormal experience just to say it, just to sugarcoat anything. I really had an experience that I can't explain. It's kind of changed me. I mean, even Chris, even after getting home, dude, I've been a different person. I used to be just like uptight, and you know, Chris, and kind of tense a lot, but I've just been really relaxed since coming home.
I watched the change come over you through the entire duration of the experience that you went through. You know what I'm saying? From from us actually driving into New Orleans and you seeing the new Superdome redone, you know, with the Mardi Gras colors, you know, to walking into Comic-Con, to going into the basement. It was truly a very enjoyable experience to sit back and watch you go through these things and experience this, you know, and I was really happy that you were able to do that, you know.
I remember, and that's the kind of joy that I get out of life. Yeah, you told me on the way home how much you enjoyed it. The fact that I was like a big kid, kind of in a candy store, you know, that just soaking it all in. And I mean, those who know me in person, you know exactly how I am. I look at everything kind of with a childlike innocence. You know, that's just how I am. There's more to it than that, you know. I believe, you know, because children, they don't judge anyone. If you notice, you know, a child has unconditional love. They don't, you know, they don't love you based on, you know, they don't say, well, I can't love you or be your friend because you don't have a fancy sports car. You don't, you know. And I think that's how everyone should be in life.
Oh yeah. You know, it's just that good heartedness that needs to leak. It kind of needs to bleed through to every aspect of what we do and what everybody does. Like I said, you know, Comic-Con this year was a great example of just of that, just a community of artists coming together, you know, to better what they do and what they do around them. And I think that was even true for us. I mean, we kind of bordered the line between artists and researchers, and I just feel like, you know, they welcomed us in with open arms, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. The whole feeling at the Comic-Con was just it was so awesome. You know, it's like everybody knew each other, and I did know several people there. From the little, this is not a big Comic-Con, but it's a small one here locally. And I knew at least four or five, and I was surprised to see them, same people, and recognize, and they recognize. And let me tell you, from having a booth at the Comic-Con here and going afterwards to dinner with all these people, it really is a family-type environment. To where, you know, we're all in the same boat. That's the feeling that you get. But it was a totally awesome.
You know,
weekend.
And the people
do
Wizard World in New Orleans this year, you know, Mo Lightning is his name, and he's the director of the whole event pretty much, and he's the one who did our panels. And it was a very funny interaction. If I can share this story with y'all, he put us up at the same time slot as Matt Smith of Doctor Who, which is probably going to have like 1,000 people there. They had to put it in the New Orleans Theater in the convention center. Okay, that's how packed it was going to be. And I walked up to him, and I never met him before. We communicated over email a little bit, you know. And I was like, hey, man, what's up? He's like, hey, yeah, what's going on? He said, you know, sound checks are good. You're going to play great. You know, it's going to be cool. And I was like, yeah, what's up with you? You know how I am, right? I'm going to confront people on stuff. I was like, what's up with the same time slot as Matt Smith, man? He's like, oh, don't worry about it. It's my master plan. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. And I was like, well, he goes, no, everybody that doesn't like Matt Smith is going to go to your panel. And I was like, well, what about the people that like Matt Smith and Paranormal? And he was just like, oh, man, it's going to be okay, you know? So, I mean, just imagine, guys, if we weren't going against Matt Smith from Doctor Who, you know, how many people would have showed up at the panel? They would have needed to put us in a bigger room, you know. So, but yeah, he was like, he'd love for us to come back next year. You know, it was really cool. Talked to the coordinator of our booth; she was really cool. You know, so you're going to see if you're listening, you're planning on going to Comic-Con next year. Look out for us; we're going to be there.
Well, here's the thing for the listeners. The reason we were so surprised at the turnout, excuse me, at the panel, was because there wasn't a whole lot of advertising for the panel. You know, as far as like Wizard World, yeah, they had a little pamphlet that had it in it, but it wasn't like they announced, okay, at this time, you know, 5 minutes, you know, Paranormal Society of New Orleans are going to, they didn't do all that. So, you know, if you weren't up to speed or paying attention, you really didn't know that the panel was going on. And I went in there, I'm going to be honest, I went in there expecting maybe about 20 people. And when I walked in there and I saw, and we had roughly close to 100 people in that audience. When I saw the audience, I was like, whoa.
And I just have to say, dude, Sunday I had a lot of people come up to the booth and, you know, say, oh, wow, you know, oh, man, I missed your panel yesterday. You know, we thought it was going on late in the weekend. And I was like, yeah, you know, I'm sorry to hear that. I didn't know what to tell them, really, you know. But I had a lot of disappointed faces come Sunday.
Well, you know, next, here's the thing about what we did this time. Yeah, it was our first test run out of the gate. But I noticed a lot of things. Next time, we're going to have flyers. We're going to pass out these flyers for when the panel is happening. Yeah, we're going to really, really, really pimp it out. And we're going to have a banner, say a larger banner saying exactly when our panel is. Hopefully, at that time, and I'm pretty much confident. Chris, you can agree with this if you want. I'm pretty much confident we will have more and better evidence within the next year.
Oh, definitely, yeah. We've already got, yeah, my fault. Ray's going to hate me for this one. And John's already gave me an earful for this. But we have two investigations this weekend, back-to-back. Friday, we're going to Baton Rouge. Saturday, we're going to Kenner, Louisiana. And then our good friends from LA Spirits forwarded us a case that they received happening about an hour and a half south of New Orleans, southwest of New Orleans, that laid back on the email for them. So, yeah, we're going to be, looks like we're going to be busy. You know, it's not going to let up. We're not going to let up. We're going to continue to do paranormal investigations. We're going to continue to try and help people. We're just getting bigger, man. Every month, you know, we're getting more likes on our page. We're getting more messages. And, you know, we got so many great people out there that support us and care about us and want to, you know, interact with what we're doing and want to know what we're doing. And it's just, it's awesome. That's all I can say. It's just awesome.
Well, this past weekend was beneficial in numerous ways. For one, we realized that we're not really as far from each other as we originally thought.
Yeah.
So,
depends on who's driving. Nick, if you're hearing.
Yeah, I heard about that one. Hey guys, I want to keep you guys on. If you can, Chris, if you can stay on, I have Selena on the line. Selena Rohn from Fear.
I might be able to stay on for a few more minutes.
Yeah. Let me bring her on. She's going to talk about she's actually on the investigation right now, if I'm understanding correctly. Just 1 second. Selena.
Hey there. Hey.
Hey.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's going great. You're on with me, Brian, Chris, and our other team member, Raymond.
Oh, hey.
I don't know. Now
hello.
Selena, you're actually on an investigation right now, correct?
Yes, I am. As a matter of fact, this awesome place in Belton, Texas that we just got the venue for, and we're going to start letting people come in here. We're doing an investigation. It's called Miss Hattie's Place.
Oh, wow.
You there?
That's awesome. Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, it's called Miss Hattie's Place. It's pretty awesome. It was an old brothel back in the Prohibition era. And so far, so good. We're getting a lot of activity, but we're fixing to open it up to the public here in about 3 weeks and start doing events here. So it's going to be pretty awesome.
That sounds great. Well, now you were talking to me about in private about a few things that you had going on.
Yeah, we have a couple of things coming up. My guys are not on tonight to talk about it, and I kind of have to keep it under wraps until they are, but we have to get together. But we are doing a project, me and a couple other guys together, Josh Hurd and Justin Spurrier, and I can't really tell you a whole lot about it because they'd have to kill me, but we are doing a project together, and it's going to be pretty special. It's going to be different than what's been done before. We're trying to think outside the box, so to speak, but it's going to be really, really a cool deal, but I'm also going to be helping with the Galena Bordello. I'm going to have another project working with the Galena Murder Bordello in Kansas and possibly helping write a book about it. So that's been kind of exciting. So, hey, Chris.
Sounds...
I forgot to say, hey, Chris.
Hey!
Hello!
You know, we should do the what's up thing, you know.
What's up?
People are like, what the hell radio station kind of is this?
Yeah. Yeah, what is going on here? Damn, what did I tune into?
Well, Brian
yeah,
messed up when he had his both on. You know?
It's a full moon too tonight, which is crazy.
Hey, I think y'all both know I can hang.
Well, hey, congratulations on the new projects, man. That's awesome.
Hey,
man.
I'm excited.
Good things
dude.
Happen to good people, you know. So, kudos,
thanks,
man. That's good.
Yeah, we went to Tyler, me and a friend of mine, actually a teammate of mine from Fear, we went to Tyler to check out what the Paracon is going to be all about. And that guy there, man, has 23 locations in Tyler that he has access to. And I'm talking, he took us to some amazing places the other night.
Wow.
And so Tyler Paracon, where Kevin and all of us are going to be, is going to be so flipping cool. Everybody should absolutely come to Tyler, Texas, April 26th, because that place is no joke. He took us into this one place, walked in, and it started activity right away. Radio turned on by itself, footsteps, stomping.
Now, when you say,
that's awesome.
Wow.
When you say Kevin, so everyone knows, you're talking about Kevin Besser?
Yeah.
From Deep South Paranormal, right?
Yeah, Deep South Paranormal,
yeah.
Kevin,
for those that don't know, Kevin's a friend of ours. He's going to be here on a future segment in a couple of weeks. He's going to be on. I'll have him on the radio show. But so you went to the Paracon, right, Selena?
Yeah, I'll be at the Paracon. I'm speaking as well, and then my team is going to help. Fear is going to help do the investigations. I think they're going to have four different places for overnights, and so teams are going to get to help do that, and Fear happens to be one of them, so we're pretty excited about that. And 2 weeks prior to that, we'll be in Jefferson, Texas. Kind of, we're going to invade East Texas, I guess, in April, and we're going to be leading investigations for them there at History Haunts and Legends in Jefferson as well. So Fear's got a lot of good stuff going on, and personally, me, I have a whole bunch of cool stuff going on.
I wish you guys could have been on tonight. I wish you guys could have made it over to the Comic-Con, too.
I can't wait to come to New Orleans in June, though. I'm supposed to go to New Orleans in June, and I can't wait to get with everybody down there in June and check that place out.
Well, Chris, don't we have something coming up in June, Chris?
We're working with Andrew Jackson on an event. The date is actually supposed to be, we haven't really announced it yet, but the date's supposed to be the end of June. We're still working with them, working out the bugs.
So I'm hoping to get down there in June also, so we can all get together and just paint the town.
Yeah, that sounds cool.
I got a question for Selena, if that's all right.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Selena, you've investigated the Duck Green Mansion before, correct?
Oh, my God, yes. Yes.
So what should we expect there?
Let's just say that there's definitely activity at that place. I would go to the apartment out back. The family that lived in the house when they took it over and said, you get the hell out, this is a field hospital now, there's an apartment type thing in the back of the house, and it's underneath the street. We were out there
do an EVP session. It was six women out there, no men whatsoever. I whistled Dixie, and right after I got done, you could hear this man's voice clear as a bell, Class A EVP, say, no. We had apparitions. We had footsteps. I put the periscope from Paranologies by the door in the bedroom where I slept, which was actually the surgical room where they cut off the limbs on the bottom floor there.
Yeah.
And the periscope went off not 2 seconds after I laid down in bed, and you could hear footsteps coming towards the bed there. So that place is definitely got activity and EVPs for sure. I love
That's
that
great.
Beautiful place.
You know, because
yeah.
we only have eight tickets left, so...
Wow, that's good.
Yeah, I know, it was really quick. We only announced this like 3 weeks ago, you know, so...
Yeah, they need to get those other eight tickets because they'll be missing out if they don't go to Duff Green because, man, that's the place that I got to check off my bucket list. The place,
yeah.
besides it being beautiful, it's just got, I mean, all kinds of history there. It's still got the actual cannonball in the roof that was shot from the actual river.
Oh,
during the
awesome.
Battle, and they put plexiglass over it, so it's still there.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I can't wait to get there, man. I was thinking about it today, and I was just getting pumped. You know, I don't think I've done Bourbon Orleans, Andrew Jackson. I've done a lot of places, and I'm getting really, really pumped about this one, you know. But
yeah. Y'all
yeah.
should have a great
I
turnout.
I got to run. I got to... thing I have to go do. I gotta get editing on this Gemini video that Kevin and I just went and did, and we experienced so much activity. But I gotta get to, editing on that before Kevin calls me.
All right, man.
Cracking that
there.
Whip. Selena, it was
Chris.
Great talking to you. Ray, I'll see you tomorrow night. Brian, I'll talk
All
to
right,
you soon.
Man.
Okay, guys.
All right, man.
All right,
take
thanks
easy.
For coming on, buddy.
All right, bye bye.
Bye bye.
He's got to get to work before somebody calls and checks on him.
yeah. Kevin, yeah. So, Selena, did you, were you able to listen to any of the show? I know you're on an investigation right now, but were you able to listen to any of what we were discussing prior to you coming on air?
No, actually, I was upstairs doing an EVP session and trying to stir some stuff up. We've been getting some EVPs with accents. They seem to be more of an African-American origin. Some of them are kind of even Cajun that we're getting, which is kind of weird. It's like, really? So, actually, I was doing an EVP session the first hour. So, were y'all talking about? What did I miss?
Well, I know. I think I mentioned it to you in one of our previous conversations about what happened Saturday night on this investigation with me, where I was able to feel... Where this, I can only explain it as a region of cold energy. I was able to feel. And I never even knew that this was possible with me. But I was able to feel where this thing was moving around the property. And Raymond, you're still on the line, right?
Yeah, of course.
Right, Raymond. Raymond. Raymond noticed what was going on, and he came behind me with the K2 meter, and
right.
he was able to corroborate everything with the K2 meter. As this thing would move, you know, Raymond would be like, well, I'm not picking it up anymore. I'm like, that's because it's not. I knew, and Raymond was kind of freaking out. I knew where this thing was, where it was moving. I could feel it. When I say feel it, I don't mean like emotion-wise. I mean like on my skin, my body, but I could also kind of sense it where it was headed, and I would go over there, and sure enough, that's where it would be. It was such a weird feeling because it was almost like, and Raymond, you were there, so you know, it was almost like I wasn't in control.
Yeah, it was. There's no way he, you know, was manipulating him. It at all. It had a mind of its own. It was an intelligent being. It was moving intelligently, and there was absolutely nothing I could think of to debunk it.
Wow. That's
but
crazy.
It was so. I really can't explain it other than it was so overwhelming. And it didn't feel angry. It didn't feel sad. It felt playful, which led me to believe, because the whole time I was talking to it as if it was my little girl. I'm like, you know, I have a daughter, a little girl also. Uh-huh. This is based on EVPs that Chris and them had got from location. I'm like, I have a little girl also, and we play games all the time. Would you like to play a game? And I had mentioned hide and seek, and that's kind of what I felt like was going on.
Right.
And
you know, I was going to say, when you said, you know, that it was kind of moving around and playing, that it had, it sounded like a child spirit to me.
That's the impression that I got.
Yeah. Huh.
But the fact, now keep in mind, you know, I had never done any kind of paranormal investigation. I mean, yeah, you know, I would go out to a graveyard with a girlfriend for the whole fun of it. You know, nothing really, nothing really serious, as in going into a location that is supposedly truly haunted up until this time. So I've never been able to actually put that to the test, you know, that ability until Saturday night. And when you really, really had to be there. And I'm sure Raymond can attest to this. It was so unbelievable, but happening all at the same time. Because I remember Ray was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're able to do this.
Yeah, I was at it. I've never seen somebody, you know, do that. Like, I've never actually met somebody who's able to sense any type of thing with the paranormal, myself included, you know?
Hey, I got the magic touch, baby. What can I say? I got the magic touch.
Yeah, and I've got the magnetic ability that they like to give EVPs, because there's a couple girls on my Houston team that they do not want to do EVPs with anybody but me. They're like, every time we do EVPs with you, we get some badass EVPs. I'm like, must be my sense of humor that I throw into the mix, because you got to keep that energy level up. You know what I mean?
I would love for all of us to get together. You know, Paranormal Society of New Orleans, Fear Paranormal, your group, Kevin from Deep South Paranormal. I would love for us all to get together and investigate a location together. That would be awesome.
Is that a flashlight going off, guys?
Okay. Sorry, they got flashlights going off. I was just checking in to see what, because I thought the REM pod went off. I'm watching the video for them from outside, so I don't jack with them. But, yeah, we're getting a flashlight intelligent activity right now at this place. Besides the Duff Green Mansion, another place that was no joke, to where I actually felt anger, was at Bill Villisca, Axe Murder House. That place is, the energy in that place is just, I can't even describe to you the level of activity in that place from the moment we stepped foot in it.
Now, where is this?
The heaviness.
Where is this located?
Villisca Axe Murder House in Villisca, Iowa. You know, Johnny Hauser, you know, six kids got murdered by Axe, and so did the parents. Two of them were actually friends staying over the night. All the kids, they were all bludgeoned to death with Axe so badly that they couldn't even be identified. And the killer put clothing over every mirror. Yeah.
I may have missed it, but what state is it in?
Iowa, Villisca, Iowa, Murder House.
Okay.
And that place is like, you know, you saying you could feel stuff going on with that place. I could feel stuff going on with Villisca, like anger, like I felt like a mama bear kind of thing come out about the kids, about him hurting those kids.
You know, after this experience, you know, like I was telling Chris, it changed me. It's, I don't know, I've just been more calm. Since then, I've just been this kind of inner peace, I guess, if you will. It really changed me, and I'm very, very interested in finding and testing what's going on and delving deeper into it.
Right. Yeah. When I was told I was an empath, that kind of made sense, to where, and some of my investigations that we've been on, I felt rather ill or just out of the blue, you know, I'd be perfectly fine. And then all of a sudden I'm sleepy like I'd been drugged or something at another one. And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And finally someone goes, you're a damn empath. You're picking up on the spirit's emotions. And you know, they're all over the place. And I'm like, no, shit. Well, that's great.
Well, see,
so I don't
you
even
and
know
I,
if it's my emotion or theirs.
Yeah, you and I have spoke about it before. I mean, I've always known, excuse me, been told that I was empath. I can pick up feelings from people, which is why I can't go into really, really close, packed, crowded places.
Right.
Yeah, for very long periods of time. But I, as you and I have spoke before, and I mentioned earlier, I'd never put it to the test on a paranormal level.
Yeah, well, it don't take long when you put it on a paranormal level to show if you got that ability or not, because it doesn't take long if you go into an extremely active location with a lot of history in it. You're going to pick up on something if you're an empath, because I swear, I've now not every case, because I'm not going to say it like other folks get possessed at every case they go to. That's not how I play that. And I'm not naming names, and I'm glad they cut that shit out, but you know, when you go into a certain place, you don't always feel something, you know. There's not going to be activity. You're not, you know, that's what kills
these shows
make you think that that's what happens, and that's not.
That's what was peculiar in my case, that when we first got there, and Raymond, you know, I wasn't picking up on anything. It wasn't until we were about to leave, and I dipped off on my own. I think... because we had such a large group at that time,
right?
That we might have intimidated whatever was there. And then after, you know, once time went on, everybody started walking outside. It kind of got a little bit less. And that was when this occurrence happened. And Raymond, I'm sure you can attest that I think I proved that, you know, that I was
capable
of having that ability.
But yeah, you definitely proved it.
It was as much a shock to me, Selena, as it was to Raymond. Because even Raymond's like, "How the hell are you doing that?" I'm like, "I don't know, dude. It's just happening."
Wow,
and,
that's really cool, though.
Well, see, he was coming behind me with the K2, and everywhere I would indicate, it would spike. He would put it, and it would spike. So he was kind of collaborating it and confirming it with that K2 meter. And, I mean, I just can't stop thinking about it and being in awe over what had happened.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool, and I don't even know what they would call that if it's, you know how they got clairvoyant, audio, whatever, I mean, I don't know, clairaudio, whatever, I don't know what that would be called. That you could pick up on cold spots.
Right, because I wasn't seeing, you know, I wasn't like Amy from Dead Files. Oh, I see a dead person. No, it wasn't anything like that. You know,
she's pissed.
I'm sorry?
I was doing an Amy Allen, and she's pissed.
Yeah, she's a nutcase. But, you know, it wasn't like that where I was able to see a spirit. It wasn't that I was able to feel their emotions so much as I was able to feel the energy, and the energy being these spots to where my body just changed.
Wow.
You know, and I could tell, you know, and even Raymond could feel the difference in the air temperature in these spots where it was colder. But there was just a sensation that I just knew, hey, this is where it is.
That basement is just a gold mine for all types of activity.
Are you talking about Bourbon Orleans?
Oh, no. It's a residential case we have.
Oh, okay.
And the basement, this was my first time going there also, and my team was probably around three times prior, and they said, you know, oh, we get something every time we come here. And I came in hopeful, and I went out, like, just astounded the whole night I was hearing disembodied voices. I was feeling
really,
almost like the sensation of somebody's finger rubbing on my back. And it was weird. Like I kept brushing off, kept telling Chris, dude, I feel like something's touching me, you know, I think I heard something. And he's just brushing off. He's like, yeah, that happened too. Like
I really wish we could have stayed even longer than what we had. But
yes.
You know, I understand there's people that live in the adjacent complexes and you know we really couldn't be there, you know, to all our, I would have loved to stay there even if it was by myself with just a digital recorder. I would love to stay there. And see, that's another thing that we failed to mention, Raymond. We were filming this occurrence with me. We were filming it on camera as it was happening.
You remember?
Good,
then.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I forgot we were able to get it on camera. I forgot about that.
You remember me telling you to slow down? You were moving a little bit too fast?
Blair Witch.
Yeah, but, I mean... We have it on camera where I'm walking around telling him it's over here, and he's going, and the K2 spikes are on film. So
that's awesome, man.
So, yeah, it's documented in that way. You know, I can't speak of when we'll be able to show it because, you know, Chris, that's Chris's department. He does the editing and whatnot. But I'm sure that somewhere down the line, I don't think he's had the opportunity yet to even review any of that evidence, but I'm sure somewhere down the line, we'll be able to present all that to you guys.
Oh, that's awesome! Yeah, I can't wait for that. We've got a lot of stuff to go over. We did capture at the Wiedemeyer, which is also the other location that we have for a venue here in Belton. We're going to have these kind of combined into one kind of overnight. You get two locations for a two price. Anyway, that place we actually used the Kinect, the 360 Kinect, and actually caught an apparition that way. That was like 2 weekends ago.
Yeah, I remember seeing that.
Dude, that is so crazy. And we tried to debunk it as best we could, and we could not debunk it.
See, I would love to get with you and figure out how all that Kinect stuff works,
yeah.
As far as like all hooking it up and everything. I mean, you've known me for a while, you know, and Raymond, I know you know. I've always been kind of like the man behind the curtain as far as Paranormal Society New Orleans goes. In this instance, that weekend, I got out there hands-on with these guys, and I enjoyed every minute of it. And let me tell you, these guys, if you're experiencing any paranormal activity out there, they take it seriously. They don't play around. There's no clowning. They go in there with the seriousness of trying to either prove or disprove that there's any paranormal activity going on.
Yeah, and I called Chris. Will Light at Light Paranormal got a call from a guy in Baton Rouge that was needing some help, and Will's like, dude, he called me, he goes, do you know anybody that can help? I said, actually, I kind of do. Let me go ahead and give them a little text message, see if they can help us out, and boom, Chris was all over it. So I wanted to kind of give him a shout-out and thank you for that, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're all one big family. Yeah, we're all one big family. Yeah, we're all one big team. We all have the same goal in mind. So, you know, we all help each other out without any question. You know, Selena, if you were to contact me today and say, hey, Brian, I need some help with this, take a look at this, you know damn well that I would. And I'm sure vice versa.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if any of the listeners are in Texas and you're experiencing any paranormal activity, get in touch with Selena with Fear Paranormal.
Yep.
I can vouch for her and her group as well. We're more New Orleans, Louisiana. I'm located in Mississippi, and there's discussions now to try to open up a branch here in the Mississippi area also. I spoke with a couple of guys at Comic-Con who live relatively close to where I live here in Mississippi. And I may do some follow-up with them and see if we might be able to try to get something going here in Mississippi. So, you know, eventually we hope to have, you know, with Fear Paranormal in Texas and then Paranormal Society of New Orleans in Louisiana, and then, you know, get something going here in Mississippi, we'll have a tri-state area covered.
Oh, yeah. Definitely, yeah, because I did have a branch in East Texas, but the guy, his business took off, so he didn't have time to jack with it no more, so I kind of dissolved the East Texas and brought on Al into Dallas, and I also have Fear Houston. Those girls down there in Houston, we got the South Texas and the North Texas and everything covered, so, yeah, if you need anything paranormally it's going on, let us know. And if we can't get to you, we have so many teams that we trust to take care of things that we can't handle or we can't get to because they're too far out or whatever.
Well,
so, I mean, you know, we have that network. So
that brings up another subject that I'd like to address. You know, a lot of people think that all we do is go to these houses, walk around, and try to see if there's ghosts there. But that's not all we do. I mean, I know, you know. Let's try to explain to them. There's a lot more to this than most people would think. You know, most people are brainwashed, for lack of a better word, by all these television shows on TV.
Yeah.
They think, oh, it's fun. You just go in there and, you know, play hide and seek with the, you know, supposed ghost. There's a lot more to it than that.
Definitely.
So
yeah, definitely.
You get,
when you get a case, you first off, your whole thing is to help the people that are having the problem. That's the main thing you keep in mind. Definitely don't ever do this if you're going to want to get rich, because that's not going to happen. You're going to be forking out more money for equipment than you would get rich doing it. But
well,
if you get the case, you go talk to the people, you interview them, you set up another time to come out and investigate, and you investigate pretty much all night long, and sometimes it's not exciting at all. It could be extremely boring to where one of our teammates actually fell asleep and was snoring at one point. But then you have to go back and review all that evidence, and once you gather that evidence and see what you're dealing with, then you have to go back and you have to deal with that. Whether it be with a priest or whether it be saging the house or cleansing the house or getting rid of whatever it is, if it's something that they want it rid of. But it's not just go in there and find ghosts and take off. I mean, it's a lot more aftercare. Okay, I just put something in the book by me. That's good. aftercare and all this stuff that, you know, you check up on them and make sure that, you know, all is well and that your problem is gone. If otherwise, you need to go back in there and figure out what do you got to do to get rid of it.
Well, you know,
definitely
it's
not
funny
just to go in there and get evidence, that's for sure.
It's funny that you mentioned what you did about not getting rid of it. I was on the Unexplained Investigators radio show Tuesday night, and I was speaking with Jeff Porter Sr., And we got on this subject, and you know, we were talking, and I told him straight up, I said, you know, a lot of these people, they just want the celebrity status of all this. They think, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to be on TV. And my answer to Jeff is, no, you won't. You will not be on TV. Here's why. Have you noticed the amount of paranormal shows on television now? By the time you get if you start right now being a paranormal investigator, by the time you get established enough to have your own television show, people are going to be tired of it. They're going to be saturated by all these paranormal TV shows. You're not even going to be able to get on the air.
Right, you know, that's so funny that you say that, because when I first started, you know, with my team and shit, that we do it for the right reasons. And when I started hanging out with Brad and Barry Kling a lot from Ghost Lab, which was on Discovery Channel back in 2007-2009, Brad and Barry Kling, for the most part, are some of the first people that were actually on TV with their own show and stuff like that, and they can tell you from the horse's mouth, it is not all that it's cracked up to be, okay? They did not get rich off of it. They're back at their old jobs,
a special ed teacher
and all that, you know? So it's not, you don't get rich. But the thing is, I've heard so many bad stories
involving
that's why you
the
don't
want to
be on TV. That's why when we were going to, and it's so weird that it's Duff Green, but when they asked me to ride with them to Duff Green to talk to me about this project they wanted me on, I couldn't believe it. I've only been in the paranormal 2.5 years, and this shit's happening already? Really?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just the whole experience for me to work with two people that I've been watching forever on Ghost Lab and look up to, and, you know, I thought, man, I kind of like the way they do their shit scientifically, and I like that.
I like that show.
It
I watched it. Yeah, I watched it every time it come on. I like that show. I like the way they were doing it, too.
When they got screwed over by the executives at Discovery or whatever, and they got really screwed, they said, you know what, this project we're doing, we're going to do it in our own way. It's going to be our project. It's not going to be Discovery's. It's not going to be whoever else's. It's our project, and we're going to be in control of everything. So they asked me to be on Shadows on 66, and that was the beginning of that. But, you know, it was one and done, and, you know, it was supposed to be a series, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a series, but it was the experience. I got to work with them. I got to go to a really cool location, meet a lot of cool people, and I'm also now good friends with Chip Coffee because of it all. So you know what? Things happen for a reason, and I'm glad that I was blessed to be on that. You know, DVD.
I would love to meet Chip Coffee, and I'm sure I will. You know, you and I being friends, eventually one day. But you know, I think the part that these people, the public, does not understand about these TV shows is you're out there filming for God knows how long. They got to crop crop that down to an hour show. These producers edit these shows however they want to make you a character, whether it be okay, you're going to be the asshole. They're going to edit things that you say and things that you do to fit that character that they want you to be in these shows.
Yep.
So basically, it's like when you read a book or someone reads a book and they take something out of context. It's the same thing. They're only showing a little bit of the conversation that you may have had. But if it makes you look like the jerk, and that's your, quote, character for the show, then that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, that's why it kills me when they call it reality TV, because it's so scripted and full of shit that it's not reality. I mean,
right.
Reality is when you want to really see a reality-driven, base-driven show of paranormal, then sit in a damn house for 6 hours and room to room and act like you're talking to yourself and you don't know if you're getting anything or not. That's what the real deal is. And they do this for 3 days. We did Shadows on 66. We filmed for a whole week, and it was 16-hour days in the sun of Galena, Kansas in June last, you know, in 2013. And let me tell you something. You work your ass off, and you get so much footage, but like you said, they condense it into 1 hour.
Yeah, well, see,
my
show
would... They don't show you all the boring shit where you're sitting there about to pass smooth out because nothing's going on.
Right.
And you don't even know if you're getting anything. You know, that's the thing. People see all this with the, you know, ghost hunters and everything, and I'm not dogging on any of them. I'm just saying that, you know, they'll be going and they'll, oh, did you see that? Or, oh, did you hear that? But at the end, they don't really show you that. So that's where they falter there as far as that goes, keeping me enthralled in that kind of show. I used to watch them all the time, but now that I'm a true investigator, I go out and do this thing myself. I know that all that is just is TV hype and good for ratings, you know what I'm saying? So that's about where that all is. And I don't see myself getting on any kind of network TV or anything like that, but if we do a film about the bordello or we do something else, that's cool, you know, that's fine with me. But these people that come in here thinking they're going to get rich and be on TV and it's going to be all glamorous and shit, they better just check themselves before they wreck themselves.
Well, you know,
that is not how it works.
You, You know why these shows become so popular and do so well? Because people, in general, as a whole, people are sheep. You know, they're going to believe anything that is placed in front. And it's funny because the other night when I was on Unexplained Investigators.
Brian?
Yeah.
Hey, man, look, I gotta go, all right? I know I haven't been talking too much, but it was a pleasure listening to y'all, too.
Oh, all right. No problem, man.
You know, I hope
man.
To
thanks
be on the show
on.
Again.
Yeah, thanks
good luck
for coming
to
on.
Good
nice
y'all
to meet
in
you,
the
dude.
Next few days. Nice to meet you, too, and I'll definitely call in again sometime.
All right, take care, bro. I'll talk to you soon.
All righty.
All right.
But as I was saying, Tuesday night, when I was on The Unexplained Investigators with Jeff, we were talking about the subject was Sasquatch, and you know he was someone a reporter had asked him certain questions, and he's asking them to me, and continuously, excuse me, continuously I stated, man, just a little bit of common sense, you know. I mean, you can answer the question yourself with a little bit of common sense, you know. And at the end of the show, he asked me if I had any words of wisdom. And it was totally not a slam against Jeff, but the person who was, you know, had asked him the questions obviously didn't think the questions through. And he asked me if I had any words of wisdom to anyone out there. And you know, the best words of wisdom, even with the paranormal, is just use a little bit of common sense. You know, when you watch these television shows, use a little bit of common sense. Stop and think about why this show is on the air to begin with. First of all, no one's going to sit there and watch Dead Air or listen to Dead Air. No one's going to sit there and watch them not get any evidence.
Right.
So do I think a lot of the evidence is made for the show? Possibly so. You know, if they were on there every week and they didn't catch anything, then they wouldn't have their ratings. The show would be canceled. So you have to think about how Hollywood works and these production companies. They want to keep the viewers tuned in and locked in.
Right.
It's a show. That's what it is. It's a show. They want the drama. They want the excitement. They want all that. So, you know, again, they're going to go and edit it to make it what they want.
Right, exactly. And that, you know, that's where Ghost Lab, Brad threw kind of a fit about they wanted them to do this and do that and kind of manufacture stuff. And, you know, Brad and Barry are like, no, I'm not playing that game. You know, we're not that kind of guy. You know, we're not going to do that. And that's the thing that I respected about them so much is that they kept it as real as they could. And when they wanted to start doing some weird crap, they're like, no, that's not going to happen. And I liked they stood their ground. However, the shows that are on now, yes, they do get some cool evidence some of the time. Do I think they manufacture some of it? Yes, I do. Do I think that there's no way. I mean, I've been to hundreds of investigations, and some I have gotten absolutely supposed to be the most active place, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Everything, oh, my God, you're going to get touched, you're going to get scratched, and not a damn thing happens to me. Not one EVP, not one periscope goes off, nothing. And I've driven hours for that. You know, they don't show that. There's no way you can go to every location and you're going to get activity at every single location nonstop. It just does
that's,
not happen. I don't care.
Right.
You know?
That's exactly right. I mean, come on, guys.
Truth be known,
you know?
It's a lot of boring, boring hours talking to yourself. But it's that one EVP, that one thing that you get that keeps you driving you on. Because after seeing my best friend's doppelganger that got me started in this, really not started, but in overdrive with the paranormal. After seeing that, and then you hear, you just want more. It's like a heroin. It's like a drug. You become almost like an addict. It's like if I'm not investigating, I'm almost having withdrawals.
Yeah.
But not every place that I go to do I get activity. But God, when you do, it just it just feeds that hunger even more, and you want more, and you want more. And that's kind of where I'm at. It's like three weekends out of my month, I'm doing something with paranormal. My whole calendar is around what's going on with the paranormal. Oh, well, hell, my cousin can't get married that weekend because that weekend I'm going to the freaking Yoakum Hospital. Sorry. You know, and that's when you know you're eating up with it. But, no, places that I've been to that have been hyped up before, I have gotten nothing. And then there's places that I, out of the way that I've gotten so much, it's unbelievable, you know?
Here's what gets me, and you know me, I try to put everything in the most simplistic, common sense form that I can. You know, we don't sit down in front of our TV and watch Star Wars thinking it's real. You know, hell, nine times out of ten, you watch the news, and you sit there and doubt whether half of it is true or real. Why would you watch a paranormal show thinking that every bit of it is 100% true and real? You know,
right?
If it's on TV, chances are there's some shit added to it.
Well, I mean, just like The Bachelor, that's such a joke of a freaking show, and it's like, you're so sad that you're going to let these people hook you up with these women and you're going to publicly date these women. And I mean, it's just the dumbest shit I've ever seen in my life. And I mean, there's so many women that are like, oh my God, I can't wait for The Bachelor to come back on. Why?
Oh,
how sad is that this guy has to be on TV to find somebody?
Yeah,
you know, first of all, I wouldn't want this person. He's a jerk about it.
Yeah, I would be very skeptical of a woman who took interest in me on a television show.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know,
come on, you know.
Not a good start. But, you know, that's just what I'm saying. TV is doesn't show the real deal. And, you know, when I got into this, I thought, you know, the Ghost Adventures, man, that spirit box was going to say all kinds of shit to me. And, oh, my God, I was going to get answering questions and doing this. And, you know, you find out that's not how it really is. And,
yeah,
you know, but
I mean,
like I said, that one little bit of evidence that you get just drives you for more and more, because you know, now for a fact, I know there is something beyond what we see. There
is a lot
more to this.
Yeah. The positive side to these shows is it's garnering interest in the paranormal and in the paranormal field. It's making people aware of it. That's the positive side. However, you have to keep in mind that any of these shows on television are for entertainment purposes.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
And that being said, you have to go into it realizing that this is to entertain me. It's not.
Yeah,
that's
what's so funny, because at the Kling Brothers events, when I would help them out and go on the events with them or whatever, and help lead some people on an investigation for them or whatever, you know, you find out the true investigators as opposed to the ones that are there to see, like, something happen or to be touched or a ghost to jump out in front of them and go boom, you know,
right,
for the entertainment value of it all. You can tell when those people, because they're the ones that fade out at, like, 11:30 when nothing's going on. They're going, ah, shit, I'm out of here.
Yes.
You know, and they're disappointed because, you know, a ghost didn't come and jump on their head. And I'm sorry, but a ghost has never come and jumped on my head, and I've been doing this for years and been to some major places. And like I said, it's few and far between that you get some really cool shit, but when you get that, it just drives you on, and it just know that you're not just wasting your time.
But at the same time, you're not going to experience this stuff sitting at home on your couch.
No.
You know.
No.
Unless you live in an extremely
haunted house.
Right.
You know?
Have to get out there. You have to go through. You have to. Suffice it to say, you have to go through the boring periods to reap the rewards of, like you said, that one EVP, that one visual, that one encounter. You have to.
Yeah, and once you do, then you just keep going. And you know, the projects that I've got working on, they're all paranormal, of course, because even my son goes, let me guess, you're talking about the paranormal to your friend. Yes, that's what I do. That's what your mom is. I mean, finally, after 40-some-odd years of looking for what my calling is, I think I finally got it. And I've never in my life had passion like I have about anything like I do the paranormal. And,
well,
people think I'm crazy. I don't care. You know, I don't care.
Yeah. It relates to all aspects.
Yeah, it does. I mean, you could talk about UFOs. You could talk about Bigfoot. You could talk about whatever. It's all paranormal. And, you know, not that I'm an expert in any of that shit, because I'm not. And there, like we talked about, there is no experts, because if there was, there wouldn't be a field. We'd be, the answers would be had already, so we don't need anything. But, you know,
well, you know, in my side of things, with the Sasquatch, you know, you get people like, I've never seen a Sasquatch. How do you know? And that's kind of what we talked about Tuesday night. They're like, how do you know they exist? How do you know they exist in this area? Well, how do you know they don't? You know, and I tell people, I said, have you gone out into the deep woods and in the middle of the night? No. I'm like, I have. You know, it's not going to come to you. It's not, you know, it's a ghost, a paranormal, you know. Well, you know, ghosts, it may come to you, but Sasquatch,
yeah.
It's not going to come knocking on your door, you know, sitting at home. If you want to know, and you're not going to find it through a television. You know, if you want to know if this stuff is really out there, if it truly exists, get up off your couch and get out there.
Yeah, definitely, because, you know, my dad is the biggest skeptic, and he's proud of me for the accomplishments that I've made as far as, you know, putting my team together, and it's being a success. It's really doing well, and we've grown in leaps and bounds as far as, you know, getting out there and being known about, oh, well, if you need something, call Fear. You know, that's pretty awesome. And my dad, you know, he's proud of that. He just doesn't understand the whole paranormal thing. He said, you know, it's not that I don't believe it. It's just that I've never had an actual experience myself.
Yeah,
so
that's kind of exactly how
me,
I was.
Yeah, until it happens to me, then, you know, hey, whatever. It's still a question up in the air. And, you know, but he's proud that, you know, I've come a long way as far as going from just being on a team to actually speaking and trying to get people fired up, because, man, this is the coolest hobby, I think. People scrapbook, I don't get into that. People, you know, go look at birds and birdwatch, I don't get into that. People play sports and, you know, go paintballing, and that's great, but this is what I love to do. This is, and I know that other people have this skepticism in them that I had, that I want to know. After my mom passed, I had to know, is she okay? You know, she said she would never leave me, but now that she's on the other side, I have to know that she's okay. And that's what started me, you know, kind of getting more into the paranormal. But then when I saw my best friend's doppelganger, I was like, oh, hell to the yeah, I'm into this.
Yeah,
got to find the answer to this and how this all happened. And you know, I posted on, I'm a rep for National Paranormal Society as well, and I posted, you know, a question saying, you know, what do you guys think about what are doppelgangers to you? You know, what have you heard? And things like that. And I got a lot of crazy, wild, all over the board responses, but they all made sense, believe it or not. You know, some people think they're malevolent. They're not. They don't have to be. When you see your doppelganger, it's not a good thing for sure, but, you know, there was just so many different things to this. And like I said, with the paranormal, you have so many different areas that you can actually expand your mind and learn something. You know, get educated about it before you just are scared of it or, you know, whatever. It's just about education. Educate yourself and don't freak yourself out. You know, people hear so much shit about the chupacabra even, you know, and you're like, really? Do some research on paranormal before
you think
us are just crazy, you know?
It's funny because someone very recently said, like, well, Sasquatch don't exist. They haven't been proven to exist. And I'm like, are you kidding? I'm like, do the research. You know, the stories of Sasquatch go back so far, you know, in Native American lore and all over the world, not just in the Americas. You know, how can I know because I've seen, but how can so many people in different parts of the world describe the same exact thing?
Right.
You know, and I'm not talking about all this fake Bigfoot crap that's going around. I'm talking about true evidence, footprints that are completely different from humans, with dermal ridge and mid-tarsal breaks that we don't have, that are studied by expert anthropologists like Dr. Jeff Meldrum, you know, and others of reputable stature, you know. Do the research
before you say
I don't believe in that. You
it's
know,
not true. Yeah. Well, the thing is, okay. So Bigfoot. Some people say Bigfoot's not real. Why, if he's real, why haven't we captured one? Well, okay. Well, ghosts are real too. Spirits are real too, but it's hard to capture one. You know, it's kind of the same thing, but a little different. He's actually, you know, supposed to be a warm-blooded. Mammal, you know what I mean?
Well,
supposed to be like almost human.
Me being a human right now, and I can honestly lay my hand on the Bible. If I wanted to disappear into the woods and never be found again, with what little I know, and I know a good bit, but in comparison to a Sasquatch, it's very little. But just with what little I know, I could do that. As a human, I could disappear into the woods and never be found again by another human if I chose to. So the odds of it being impossible, no, it's very, very possible that these things could be there and not be seen or found.
Well, hell, I mean, people disappear out of the blue every day, you know, never to be seen again. They don't find a body. You know, there's no, like, remnants of them anywhere. They just, poof, disappear.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, how often do we find, like, bear? We know bear are out in the woods, but how often do we ever, when we're walking out in the woods, do we come across a bear skeleton?
Yeah,
you
don't.
I've seen pictures of hogs in my neighboring state, Alabama, that are humongous. I'm talking huge. And they're out in these woods. I've never seen one. I've never come across one in person, but I know they're out there. And if something that big can be out there and not be seen, anything is possible, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, hell, UFOs. Some people say they see them, and some people go, you're full of shit. Well, I'm sorry, but some of the photos that I've seen, yeah, they can be hoaxed. Yeah, you bet your ass they can. Some of them, however, I don't see how there's any way they can be. You know, and the military, the government lying to us constantly. God almighty, how many lies can one government tell their people? Shit.
Especially when other countries has released information regarding UFOs. Even black box recordings from their own military and air pilots have been released.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, the government, I don't know why. I know just, I don't know. Me and my best friend Kenny used to talk about UFOs and shit like that all the time and how the government has lied to us for years that there's probably aliens on our Earth right now that we're learning technology from. Because look at from 1980 to now at the technology jump. Really?
That's all these
years that we've had to figure this shit out, and then all of a sudden in 30 years, man,
well,
we're like upgrading.
I mean, you can even go back.
Excuse
me. You can even go back even further to the 1950s. Now, if you take in consideration that Roswell happened in 1947, and then look at where we were in, say, 1900 in comparison to where and how fast, excuse me, we got to where we are now.
Yeah, it's how did that happen? I mean, all those years, we were like almost stagnant, and even getting a freaking get rid of remotes. Once that happens, that's going to be really cool. But you know, hell, we didn't even have a remote. We had to get up and change it our damn self. We were the remote. You know, we were our parents' remote. Get your ass up, go get your beer, and change the TV. You know, now it's you can do one from your phone. It's crazy.
We've had the fastest technological growth. in the last half century than previous, you know, years before that.
Right.
I mean, we had enough growth and technological expansion in the last half century to beat most centuries previously.
Yeah. I mean, just jumped. And it's like, you know, me and Kenny were talking when he was alive. It was like, you know, he was real into UFOs. He had VHS tape. Every little freaking show that came on, he had VHS tapes out the ass with
right.
anything UFO on them. And he's like, you know, just like when me and him went to Cancun and we took a trip to Chichen Itza, and we're looking at the pyramids, and he's going, there's no flipping way in hell that,
right.
you know, that humans could pick these big-ass things up like that and stack them like that. There's just no way in hell. I don't care what kind of pulley system you have.
Well, even the faces on Easter Island were a near impossible to get. And I don't want to go too much into that right now because
yeah.
I'm planning future broadcasts on different UFO subjects.
Okay.
I'm trying to keep my broadcast a little bit different each week. If you've noticed, you know, like 1 week I'll do
yeah.
paranormal, one week I'll do ghosts, and 1 week I'll do Sasquatch and UFOs and because I want to try to keep it as interesting as I can. Now next week I'm going to have on air psychic medium Mary Barrett.
Yeah.
And I've spoke with her before on another radio show that I was a guest on, and she's a truly remarkable person. It's going to be an interesting show. She really really knows what she's doing, and she really is in tune to what's going on. And
cool.
I'm going to leave it at that because I don't want to give away most of the show, but it's going to be an interesting show.
You gonna have a chat room or anything open for everybody?
Oh yeah. I always have
cool,
the chat
cool.
room open.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm gonna let. Hopefully, I still gotta discuss with Mary what exactly it is she wants to do and allow, you know, or is capable of
right.
During the show.
Right.
But hopefully, she'll be able to take some calls and maybe give a few readings. Again, I still gotta confirm all that with her. But yeah, it's going to be a real good show, and then after that, I think the following week I'm going to try to get Kevin Betzer with Deep South Paranormal on.
Yeah, he's supposed to come on. I think my show April the 27th, right after our run in at Paracon, probably. So that's going to be kind of cool. But I'm going to get back in here to this investigation, and I want to thank you for having
right,
me on.
Right, I appreciate you.
And,
I appreciate you stopping by.
Hey, no problem. If anybody in Texas wants something cool to do, look up Fear Paranormal and check out Wiedemeyer Academy. And we're fixing, like I said, release this Miss Hattie's brothel. So check for Fear Paranormal and make sure that you're keeping up to date because there's a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah, and you know good and well. I mean, anytime you want to pitch something or promote something, all you got to do is give me a call, and it's no problem. You know that.
All right, man. I appreciate it, Brian. Have a good one.
No problem, hon. You have a good night
All right.
also.
All right, dude. Talk to you soon.
Okay, take care, hon.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, well, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. We got about 1 minute left. As I mentioned, next week I'm going to have Mary Barrett. She's a psychic medium. I have spoken with her before, and she's really, really, really good. Much more professional than some of the previous psychic mediums, in my opinion, that I've had on. And it's going to be a very interesting show. Tune in, you know, next Thursday. That's going to be 8 p.m. Central Time. I'll be posting the links. And you guys check me out over at Project Paranormal on Facebook, Project Paranormal Radio. Go and like the page, and I'll be able to update it. With the show information as it occurs. That being said, I hope you all have a good night, and thank you for stopping by.